Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Duncan had it. They turned it over. Alley-oop back to Kevin.
Oh, baby! Woo! KD!
You can see it coming, and the building is electric off that slam dunk.
Hello and welcome to the Believe in Timberwolves podcast. I am your host, Brendan Hedke. As always, you can find me on Twitter at @B_HEDTKENBA. And as always, this show is part of the Believe Podcast Network. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the Timberwolves' Wednesday night win and also looking ahead to the two games against the New Orleans Pelicans coming up on Saturday and Monday. For those of you maybe curious on the timeline, I am recording this Friday night. So if you hear anything that maybe you figured out the answer to or anything like that, I'm recording Friday night. So if you're listening to this on Saturday and I missed something, apologies, but this is recorded on Friday night. Just want to go ahead and put that out there. But on today's show, I wanted to talk about a few things. I wanted to talk about just overall the Timberwolves' win against the Houston Rockets and what that looked like and what that could mean. You know, like I said, preview the next two games against the New Orleans Pelicans. And just kind of give an overall reaction to the beginning of the season. And kind of a season preview, but not too in-depth in anything like that. But let's go ahead and start with the game. Let's kind of run through the entire game from like start to finish, kind of talk about it. The biggest thing was Chris Finch, prior to tip in his pregame media availability, said that he was not ready to tell us who his fifth starter was going to be. At that time, I'm sure he already knew who that was going to be. But at the time, John Krasinski asked him who it's going to be, and he said, well, I think John said, are you ready to tell us who the fifth starter is going to be? And Chris joked and said, no, John, and then chuckled a little bit. So he wasn't ready to tell us, but as you know, the game got closer, and before tip, it was announced that Josh Okogie was going to be starting at the power forward for the Timberwolves. I like that move. I've been advocating for Jared Vanderbilt to be the starter for a while, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. But in this specific game, Josh Okogie is going to be was the starter, and what that meant for the team was that you were smaller, but you were playing the Houston Rockets, and it didn't really matter that you were smaller because they're not the biggest team. They had Daniel Theis and Christian Wood as their 4 and 5. Theis is a pretty solid size center, but Christian Wood, he's tall and lengthy, but he's not built big, and he was guarded a lot by, Jaden McDaniels. Josh Okogie was playing on the perimeter against, Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green, so Josh wasn't necessarily playing the power forward that much, because I like to define who you're guarding is your position, so he was guarding guards, so I guess in that game he kind of was guarding guards, but Josh is the type of player that you're going to stick on whoever you need to stick him on. You're going to stick him on a power forward. You're going to stick him on a point guard. It just depends on matchups and how you want to figure that out. But he was the fifth starter. It'll be interesting to see if he's the fifth starter moving into the games against New Orleans. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But before we do, I do have to get a quick message from our sponsor. So I'll be right back. BetOnline is back and better than ever. They have a new web interface for the start of basketball season. They have more prop bets, more odds, more lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. So head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You throw in $100, they're going to match half of that, and you're going to have $150 to play with. Just use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so let's get back talking about the starting lineups. And before we talk a lot about Wednesday night's win, we're going to look ahead. So I'm going to do this in a little weird order. But because I'm talking about lineups, I want to get this in here. Looking ahead to Saturday and then on Monday as well, the Pelicans are going to be without Zion Williamson for an unknown amount of time. But it's pretty clear he's not going to be playing against the Timberwolves in either of these two games. And the Pelicans have already played one game. As I'm recording, they're currently in their second game. So they'll be on the second night of a back-to-back when they play the Wolves on Saturday. So they're going to be pretty tired. And they've played some stiff competition so far. So Wednesday night, they played the Philadelphia 76ers. And they lost by 20, 117-97. Their starters were, at the point guard, they started Devontae Graham. Nikhil Alexander-Walker came in at the 2, and then I would say Brandon Ingram was the 3, with Josh Hart being the 4, and then Jonas Valanciunas being the 5. So not necessarily a big team when you think about it. If Josh Hart is coming in to be their power forward, I think you're going to be okay with playing Josh Okogie at the 4. Even though Jonas Valanciunas is bigger than Karl-Anthony Towns, he might struggle a little bit that way. I think you're going to be okay with Josh Okogie being the 4 in that game. If they come with somebody else, who knows what you want to do. Maybe you stick with Josh and he's just your 5th starter and you figure it out as the season goes on. Or potentially you move to something different. As I said, Philadelphia is also currently playing right now as I'm talking to you, and they are playing the Chicago Bulls. And I believe that they started, I'm going to have to go ahead and look at this quick, but I believe they went with the same starting lineup except for they took out Josh Hart, and they went ahead and put in Herb Jones as that 5th starter. So somewhere between Brandon Ingram and Herb Jones is your power forward. That's your forward duo there. And I believe Josh Hart is injured, and I'm not sure if he's going to be playing in Saturday's game, but Herb Jones isn't necessarily like the smallest guy. But he's not a big dude. He's only 6'7", 206 pounds. So I think you could get away with playing Josh Okogie the same way you could against Josh Hart. Josh Hart's a little bit smaller, but I think he's a little bit bigger than Herb Jones is. So it's looking like Josh Okogie could be that 5th starter. Obviously, they could go ahead and start somebody else next to Jonas Valanciunas at the 4, but I'm assuming they're going to go with Herb Jones if that's what they did today and if Josh Hart can't play. So I would go ahead and start Josh Okogie for that game. But now that we're done talking about the lineups, we'll talk a little bit more about kind of previewing the Pelicans games and what all that means. But we're going to talk about Wednesday night's game, go back to it, talk about some of the really awesome things that we saw, some of the not-so-awesome things we saw, who looked good, things like that. So to start off, I want to get a little bit of love to this player because his stat line was insane. And I don't think he's getting enough praise for it because some other guys did some really impressive things. But Jaden McDaniels is the first person I want to talk about. Now, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist doesn't blow you any, you know, you're not getting blown away by that. It was cool to see him pull down 4 rebounds, I guess. I'm hoping he can be a guy that averages at least 5 rebounds this season. The 4 points, he only took 3 shots. He took 1 3. He had that lob from Anthony Edwards, which was sick in transition. He had another bucket that I can't really remember what it was. But he only took 3 shots. So he wasn't like shooting poorly. He just didn't shoot a lot. That's okay because he knew where to pick his spots. The things that really stick out are the 4 steals. And on ESPN, he was credited with 2 blocks. I believe he might have had 3 blocks. But either way, you're talking 6 or 7 stocks in that game. That is massive. And Josh Okogie and Jared Vanderbilt get a lot of the praise for what they did in this game. Josh Okogie had 2 steals and 2 blocks of his own. Vanderbilt had 2 steals of his own also. But Jaden McDaniels really kind of flew under the radar, I think, a little bit. Even though he like had the most defensive impact stat-wise. But I think what we can kind of take from this, and this is a take I've kind of been formulating for a while, and I think Wednesday night's game just kind of really put this into perspective for me, is Josh Okogie and Jared Vanderbilt are very similar defenders in their play style. They're obviously different sizes and things like that. And Jaden McDaniels has his own way of playing defense. And what I kind of hypothesized is that the way that Josh Okogie and Jared Vanderbilt play defense is in a way that's infectious, and it really transfers over to the entire team, where it makes those players, you know, play harder, play better defense, make sure they're in the right spots and things like that, where it's kind of a more chaotic energy that people can really feed off of, right? And the type of defense we're seeing from Jaden McDaniels is he's that quiet, laid back, always in the right position, doing what he needs to do type of player on the defensive end. And it doesn't quite transfer over to the rest of the team. Now, he's playing really solid defense himself, but he's not going ahead and, you know, hyping up his team so much. I mean, he is, don't get me wrong, he's doing that. But he's not doing it so much that he is like getting them all super hyped and super, super involved. And I think that's something that, you know, it has its place, but it's very it's not quite as useful as getting the whole team up and doing that that amount of defense, like Josh Okogie and Jared Vanderbilt. Somebody on Twitter, so I actually tweeted out that theory, so if you saw it, you can go ahead and read it. I'll read it verbatim from what I said. I said, McDaniels is a very impressive defender, but it seems his defense doesn't quite translate to the whole team being good defensively. It probably is because he is a lot more poised under control, and Okogie and Vando are all over the place. And then somebody goes ahead and replies. It's at Pav Drew, and I really like this response. He said, McDaniels is the friend in the group that knows how to party, but Okogie and Vanderbilt are the friend that brings the party. So I think that's a really good way to put it. So shout out to at Pav Drew. I think that's a good way to put it. So I'm going to leave it at that, but I just want to give Jaden McDaniels some love. And then we'll go ahead and talk about Josh Okogie and Jared Vanderbilt. Those guys, one of those two has to be on the court, I think, at all times. I literally think you got to keep one of those two on court pretty much all the time. Watching the Timberwolves game on Wednesday, I really noticed, and a couple other people really noticed, when neither of those players were in the game, it seemed like a lot more of a freeway to the rim to get layups than it was when one of those two players was in the game. And if that's the type of effect that they're having on the Timberwolves, they need to keep those guys on the court, one of them, as much as possible. And I think that would be really beneficial to try to do that, because we can't afford to have a freeway to the rim. That's going to lose a lot of basketball games for this team. So they need to figure out a way to keep one of those guys on the court for pretty much at all times. And maybe with Patrick Beverley back, you can get away with having just one of those three on the court at all times. We haven't really seen Pat with this team outside of the preseason yet. So it'll be interesting to see what that kind of looks like as we go forward. But I was really impressed with Josh Okogie and Jared Vanderbilt defensively. I think that's going to be a common theme all season. It'll be really interesting to track what they can do offensively when it comes to a better defensive team. Houston wasn't a great defensive team. They're not going to be... They're a fun, athletic team, but they're not going to be good defensively. So I want to see when the Timberwolves face a better defense, are they going to exploit the offensive weaknesses so much that Josh Okogie or Jared Vanderbilt end up being unplayable? But we're going to have to see what that looks like when that time comes. Right now, it's not going to come. They're going to be playing New Orleans, who's probably not going to be a great defensive team either. So it might be a little bit before they face a team like that. But it will be interesting to see what happens when that point in time arrives. The other people we need to talk about is the big three of this team. Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell. Let's talk about D'Lo. D'Lo on Wednesday night started off slowly. He kind of started off a little quickly at the beginning, tried to get to the basket a few times, got some free throws, and then it kind of cooled down from there. But then we got to the point where I believe it was in the third quarter. the second or third quarter, I can't really remember, but D'Angelo Russell just took off, and he hit four threes in the matter of, like, 2.5 or 3 minutes or something like that, and he just caught fire quickly. But he also had 7 assists, so that was good. He ended up +9 on the night. I think he played pretty solid overall. Karl-Anthony Towns had a fantastic game. He had 30 points on 11 of 15 shooting. He was 5 for 5 from the free throw line. He made 3 of his 4 threes, grabbed 10 rebounds, dished out 2 assists, +34 in the night. Just a fantastic job by him. But Ant is the guy we got to talk about the most. Anthony Edwards is going to have an all-star caliber season this year. He looked electric. He looked unstoppable at times. Of course, he took a lot of threes. He was 6 for 12 from deep, which is good. Shows that he can shoot. He's not going to go 6 for 12 every night. He's going to have to attack more when the shot's not falling as much. But he was a very impressive shooter, scorer on Wednesday night. Ended with 29. Just a fantastic game. And the thing about Anthony Edwards is he, you can tell already, after one game playing in front of a crowded arena, he feeds off the crowd, and the crowd feeds off of him. It's kind of like a never-ending cycle, a never-ending cycle of hypeness. And that's going to be really important because he's going to be playing in front of I don't want to say packed, because Target Center is rarely packed, but maybe this season it will be. He's going to be playing against crowds this year. He played most of his rookie season against no crowds, and then limited crowds towards the end of it. We're talking full houses, high-capacity arenas. He's going to feed off that. So I want to go ahead. I'm going to throw in a quote here, talking about Anthony Edwards getting pumped up by the crowd. Go ahead and listen to what he says. Because it seems like he's pretty excited to do that for the rest of this year.
Ant, how did you feel in that second quarter tonight? And you know, how much did you maybe feed off of the crowd energy? And just, you know, what was your mindset during that little run you had there?
Man, all I can say is the crowd brings a different type of energy to the gym. You know what I'm saying? Like last year, it was freezing in the gym. This year is hot. Everybody, different atmosphere, man. It's great.
And you mentioned the crowd, your first dunk of the year. Could you just feel like the energy when you threw it down in that moment?
Yeah, man, I felt like I was back at UGA, man. You know what I'm saying? Crazy fans, everybody there to support. It was all love.
During that run in the second quarter, after that last three, were you pretending to call it a timeout?
I was telling the coach, call a damn timeout. Oh, man, need a timeout. Hot. Sure. I didn't realize it was 20 seconds, so he couldn't call timeout.
So tonight, obviously, and for you, was the biggest home crowd that you've played in front of since being in the NBA. You know, I'm sure you've probably seen it on TV, just guys feeling like they're blacking out there when the crowd's just getting going behind it. Did you feel like that at all tonight? And just how different did it feel tonight compared to, you know, last year?
I mean, it was totally different, man. I mean, it's like night and day. Like the crowd last year, it was no crowd. The crowd this year, it's like no seats left. So, I mean, just we just want to we appreciate the fans being there. We just want to tell them to keep coming out. We're going to give them what they want to see. And, you know what I'm saying, they're the reason we're going to win.
All right. So, as you saw, Ant mentioned that it was like he was back at the University of Georgia where he went to college, with the fans just being super involved in the game. And it sounds like he's really ready for that to be the case as his sophomore season goes on. And I think he's gonna have an all-star type season because he is going to be good. My bold prediction for the season over at KanaSupas.com was that Ant was gonna be the Timberwolves leading scorer by 5 points. So I was predicting, you know, he's at 28-29, Cat's at 23-24. That's my bold prediction. I think he could get there. I don't think this 29 points is a one-off thing. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of that as the season goes on. The one thing I am worried about Ant is the shot selection, and that's been a thing even last year. I don't want to see him taking too many threes. He had some thoughts about this post-game on Wednesday also, and I'll throw that clip in a little bit. But he took 12 threes. He's probably not going to take 12 threes every night. I hope he's not, unless he's hitting them at a high clip because we need him to be getting downhill to the basket. And some of that does come with, you know, making the threes opens up the lane to the basket and vice versa. So I'll clip Ant's thoughts on that to your, Britt Robson asked him a question. I'll clip that into the podcast here too. You can hear what Ant had to say about that. So I'll go ahead and throw that in right now.
You shot 12 threes tonight, much more than you drove to the basket, but you made half of your threes. In a normal course of events, do you think that you're going to be probably shooting more threes than drives, or is it just kind of mixing it up?
I mean, yeah, because in order for the lane to open up, you've got to shoot threes or make them respect the jumper. You know what I'm saying? So if you look at how, if I get a switch, Christian Wood, he's playing all the way back. So I got to hit a couple threes for him to come up to respect my jumper. So, I mean, in order for me to get downhill, which I'm very good at, I got to hit jumpers. So that's why I worked on it so much.
All right. So as you can tell, Ant's not really worried about it. He's not worried about it. We're going to see what that means. I'm not concerned, but I just hope it doesn't become a big problem. And that's kind of where my head's at with that. But let's go ahead. Let's move on to the next topic. The next topic is Patrick Beverley coming back. So if you didn't watch the game or if you just, I guess, weren't paying attention, Patrick Beverley didn't play on Wednesday. He's not hurt. The reason being is he pushed Chris Paul in the back last year during the playoffs when he was playing for the Clippers. And he was handed a one-game suspension. So that suspension was given during the first game of this regular season. So that was Wednesday night. So we didn't have Patrick Beverley. Chris Finch went on to praise Patrick Beverley post-game for the defense that the Timberwolves played, which is funny because Patrick Beverley literally was not at the game. But it just shows the impact that he's had on this team already as a leader, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm excited to see what it looks like on Saturday when he is at the game, when he is suited up playing for the Timberwolves. It's going to be one more plus defender on the court, one more shooter on the court. From the sounds of it, Chris Finch is just going to add Patrick Beverley into the rotation, so the Timberwolves are going to play 11 guys. Jordan McLaughlin's probably going to get some minutes squeezed out of there. But it sounds like it's going to be an 11-man rotation going forward, which I don't know how I feel about that. It's a little dicey. I think with this personnel, it makes some sense, but I just am always worried about running too thin when you get down to, you know, 11, 12 guys in a rotation. We'll see if Chris Finch can make it work, but I think that it's something that we should monitor, is maybe at some point we do need to take somebody out of this rotation and get it down to 10. But for right now, it'll be interesting to see how Chris Finch manages all that, the types of minutes players are getting, what lineup combinations we're using on the court, and what seems to work the best. There's not a lot of data to back up any lineup combinations yet, so we have to set up that data by letting the guys play together. Once that starts, I'm going to be really interested to parse that and see who's doing good, who's not doing good. But I'm excited to see Patrick Beverley back on this team. I liked what I saw from him in the preseason. Defensively, on the bench, the guy never sits down. Never sits down on the bench. So that's going to be another thing to see. But I'm excited for what he's going to bring. As for the Timberwolves' next couple games, they do play, like I said before, New Orleans twice coming up Saturday and Monday. So New Orleans coming off a back-to-back Friday night. They have a Friday-Saturday back-to-back. So they'll play the Timberwolves at 7 Central Time on Saturday at Target Center. I will be there as a fan. I won't be covering that game, but I will be there as a fan, and I'll be mentally covering the game because I can't seem to let myself go off of that. But I'll be there as a fan, which I'm excited for, and it might be the only game I'm at as a fan this season, but I'll be at, you know, more than a handful of games covering it, but it'll be good to get one out of the way, to be able to cheer at the game, because I want to be part of that crowd. It's going to be hard for me not to be cheering on Media Row, but I got to do it one time. So we're doing it on Saturday. We'll be there. It'll be pretty fun to, hopefully a fun environment. Hopefully Ant can tell the Pelicans coach to call a timeout too, like he did to Steven Silas on Wednesday. But looking ahead to the Pelicans games, like I said, they currently are getting beaten by the Chicago Bulls. At this point, it's almost the end of the third. They're down by 17. I'd be surprised if they come back to win this game. Maybe they will, but I doubt it. The Bulls seem to be a pretty solid team this season. So they're going to probably come in on the second night of a back-to-back, traveling from Chicago to Minnesota. playing again on a two-game losing streak. So I like the Timberwolves' chances in this one. And then again, they play on Monday. And I think I like the Timberwolves' chances there too. With no, I think the Timberwolves are a better team than the Pelicans without, or even with Zion playing. So without Zion, I think that the Pelicans are in a good tier below the Timberwolves. So I think they got a chance to start this season 3-0, and then they can really move into the season on a good note, winning three of their home games, not really dropping any that way. But after the Pelicans game, they're going to go ahead. I think they have. Sorry, I'm trying to pull it up. I think they might be going to Milwaukee after that, but I could be wrong. And now nothing is loading. But yeah, so they have, remember, they have seven of their first eight games at home. And then the only game they have in that first eight that's away is in Milwaukee, which is their first, road game. But it's also the closest team that they can play on the road. So yeah, they have the Pelicans back, not back-to-back, but Saturday, Monday. Then they play at Milwaukee, follow that up with the Nuggets at home, Magic at home, Clippers at home, twice before they go to the Grizzlies on November 8th. So they have a good homestand. If they can start 3-0 and then go to Milwaukee and then come back for four more home games, if they can come out of that stretch 6-2, maybe 5-3, you're starting off the season on a really good note, and I'd be really impressed if we can get that done. But yeah, I think that's pretty much all I have for today's episode. I'm just pumped to see Ant throw something down in person on Saturday. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to go absolutely crazy. And I know the entire arena is too. So I'm excited for the season. Wednesday got me really pumped. Again, that's a subpar opponent, but they really laid the handle down. They destroyed the Rockets. The score doesn't really indicate. They're up by 30-some for quite a bit of the game. They destroyed the Rockets, and that's what good teams do, is they beat the crap out of the teams they're supposed to. And the Timberwolves did that. I think they're supposed to win against the Pelicans on Saturday, and they're supposed to win against the Pelicans on Monday. They have their six-point favorites. They have a 70% chance to win, according to ESPN. I like their chances. That's all I got to say. I know I'm kind of rambling at this point, but I guess that's just how excited I am for this season. But other than that, I think that's pretty much all I have. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I truly do appreciate it. If you have any questions or anything, you can always tweet them at me on Twitter. You can send an email to my Twitter bio. Go ahead and follow me on there. Follow the Believe in Timberwolves podcast at Believe in Wolves on Twitter as well. But this has been the Believe in Timberwolves podcast presented by Bet Online. I'm your host, Brandon Hedke. I will see you guys next week. Enjoy this weekend of games and peace out.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.